All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NBA podcast for Thursday, December 15th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are going to be taking a look at a Thursday night in the NBA for DraftKings and FanDuel. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to help you get started or keep winning on FanDuel and DraftKings NBA. We have a free 3-day trial to our projection system that's powered by Lineup Lab, which helps you calculate optimal lineups for those two sites, FanDuel and DraftKings. We've had an incredible amount of success this year in NBA, looking to keep it going, and you can have a chance to grab a hold of that too, but with free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. That also includes our NFL projections, so you're all set all under one subscription package, which we think is just a fantastic deal. We think you'll be pleasantly surprised, too, when you go in and check it out. So dfsr.com/membership, and you're all set to go. All right, bud. Thursday in the NBA typically means a shorter slate, some more national games. Actually, 8 o'clock start for the main slate tonight rather than the typical 7. So just keep that in mind, everyone out there, that you have an extra hour. You're going to need to make another excuse.
Yeah, spend it with your family, you know?
Yeah, or travel. You know, do something with it, you know? Like
little Barnes & Noble. Get a cup of coffee, you know what I mean?
Or you're going to have to find a new excuse about why you need to sneak away at 8 o'clock now, or 7 to 8 o'clock now instead of 6 to 7, which is the usual.
That's my work meeting. You know my normal work meeting? I got moved back an hour for tonight.
So. We're coming off a night in the NBA, which is about as crazy from a DFS perspective as you can get in terms of just overall punts. So many players sat. There was just almost an embarrassment of cheap plays just really across the industry. Too many to really name. Almost too many to even sift through in terms of just like a process standpoint. And, you know, we have about, about as good of a system as any at just sort of evaluating these kinds of plays in terms of the way our system is made up. We just have basically everything for a team accounted for going into a matchup, which makes organizationally it easier than just using your brain trying to rifle through, you know, this guy or Kelly Oubre or, you know, Channing Frye. Like, I don't know. You know, what should I do? And even last night, it was very, very difficult. What do we take away from a night like that where we were just staring down the barrel? Just, I mean, there was probably like 12 to 15 cheap plays that were like solidly, it was kind of tough to sift between them.
Well, yeah. I mean, last night, I think, was a little anomalous in a lot of ways. I mean, first and foremost, you had a situation in Cleveland that wound up using up a lot of our personal bandwidth because it was just unprecedented for this season, having the big three all sit, really just threw a huge monkey wrench in everything and wound up confusing things quite a bit. And the cascading effects of that were pretty significant onto our lineups. First and foremost, Channing Frye making his way into the lineup.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Since the system couldn't really evaluate, you know, was his increased usage this season because LeBron could get him looks or because of LeBron's specific affinity for him or what. So yeah, he wound up turning in a complete dud, and unfortunately the guys that fit in around him were also pretty unexceptional. So yeah, pretty forgettable night. I mean, we say this often, but sometimes those big slates, like when the margins are so thin, like, so say that was a tonight's slate where you had a value like Channing Frye. Sure, he may have gone out there and stunk, but instead of being a 30% start on FanDuel, he would have been like an 80% start, right? And it mitigates the quote-unquote mistake quite a bit more. So on a short night like that, everyone's kind of mixing and matching their own punts, and if you get the good ones, you're in good shape oftentimes, and if you're not, you're not. So
yeah,
last time we wound up on the wrong side of them.
It was interesting, too, because we hit on all the big plays. Like, we had Whiteside, we had Wall, and these guys really were just great. And so it's just so funny to kind of hit on the big guys and, like you said, just sort of miss on these on these sort of outlier plays that you're just having trouble figuring out. So this is one thing, and I'm not saying this to like say a bad beat or anything. It's more just to explain like process in DFS is that you need to just trying to evaluate minutes and usage and opportunity for situations that are new can be difficult, and it can just be, and last night was just, it was one of those nights like sort of times 10. So anyway, moving on to a night tonight that looks a little bit more, not solid or on solid footing, but there aren't as nearly as many games. There's only 5 games, some decent matchups. Let's start at point guard. Where do we sort of start with point guard tonight in terms of if I'm trying to like build cash game lineups or just get a sense early of where we might be looking for cash games?
Yeah, I mean, I'll weigh in first just on the slate overall and say that it's really not that sane of a slate. I mean, we have 2 games projected to be big blowouts. We have some kind of fast-paced teams. Like, there's one basically really good game, Portland-Denver, and then everything else has just a lot of question marks for me. So I wish I could be a little bit more enthusiastic about tonight's slate, given that it's a little smaller, but I don't feel super, super fantastic. But yeah, let's dive in. So the first guy that came to the top of my list, if you're just looking for a high floor, is Damian Lillard. So the price is definitely going up on Lillard. It's more than we would want to pay for him normally. You know, he's a guy who was really in the low 8,000s last season, so seeing him move up to 9,500 hard is definitely a little bit of a concern. But in terms of checking my boxes for guys I would like to see in my big money slates tonight, or my big money spots rather, I'd say, first of all, good matchup. You know, he's got a top five matchup against Denver, a game that's projected to be close with a high total. You know, all of those things I think are really solid factors in his favor. And the fact especially that it's going to be close theoretically is a big help for Lillard. When things are close, he plays high 30s, low 40s minutes, and that's a good thing. So, you know, you throw in that Lillard is one of the most prominent just overall time of possession guys in the league, fourth overall in terms of time of possession per the SportView data. I think he's a solid play. And he's expensive, and these are not prices that he like routinely snaps off and pays. So that's going to kind of be the theme of the night, unfortunately.
Yeah, we get this way with Lillard at times in the season because he's so streaky as from a shooting perspective that he will throw together sort of a couple games of just high top end scoring because he just kind of gets it all rolling. And then you'll see the price climb a little bit. And then he'll go out and have like this like 4-for-17 night where he's just not putting up assist numbers either. And then the price starts dropping. And then those happen a couple and the price drops down. Like, I would suspect, without looking back at it, maybe I'm just projecting some idea that's not true. But I suspect if we were to go back and look at his price, the way his price fluctuates over the course of the season, he's one of those guys, like just the way he's made up, being so ball first and scoring dependent, that you'll see if the scoring kind of dries up, you'll see the price just kind of jump up and down a little bit more. Like, he'll deviate more than maybe your average point guard. And so I think, and we're reaching that point now with him where we're getting to that high end again. And yeah, it gets a little close. I don't know. All the reasonings for why he's a good player there, I'm just a little bit worried about if the price is too high. If
it might be, yeah, he might not wind up showing up in optimal lineups, you know, especially as we get closer to lock and more safe plays reveal themselves.
After him, in the middle tier of guys, who did you like? Maybe, you know, cheaper than Lillard. I mean, he's the most expensive guy, so every guy's cheaper, but cheaper point guards tonight that you see maybe a little safety in.
Yeah, I like Jrue Holiday, I think. I mean, you know, he's coming back from this injury, and that's always a concern. But the fact that he played 40 minutes and then 30 minutes in his last two games is pretty reassuring to me. And, you know, essentially averaged 5x points per dollar in those two games. Tim Frazier is doubtful as of right now, and yep. I think that only increases Holiday's stock. And then you pair that with a pretty solid matchup with the Pacers, who are top 10 in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing point guards this season. And he just seems like a solid guy you can just play and not really worry about too much.
Yeah, I don't think we have the same concerns we have with Holiday's minutes anymore. I mean, the early season, he was out early season because of
he was playing backup,
and because his wife, it wasn't an injury, it was his wife was having surgery, so he was just sitting out. It was family reasons. So he, you know, and recently he has sat out a game, but and I guess he has the toe injury, but the toe issue. I love Holiday tonight. He's actually funny too, because he's made the Pelicans so much better by just having another threat to go along with Davis. That they, and with Frazier out, I think he's a candidate to play pretty big minutes tonight. I love the matchup. What do you think of a guy like Jeff Teague? He's sort of around the same price, doesn't get the same kind of usage in this offense, especially when he's sharing the court with Paul George. And some of his season numbers are thrown off a little bit by the fact that George has sat out time this season. And they actually, overall, Indiana has had some injury issues too. Ellis hasn't played. So they've kind of rotated some of their... they've rotated some of the rotations based on injury. Where do you see Teague versus Holiday? Would you rather just play Holiday in this situation? Teague's got a great matchup against going the other way against the Pelicans.
Yeah, no, Teague does have a great matchup. I guess I would rather play Holiday. I mean, the thing with Teague and just the Pacers in general is that, unlike other teams, they just don't have locked in rotations. Like, you know, Teague will just go out there and play 36 minutes one night and then 31 or 29 yeah. the next night. And there's not really any huge rhyme or reason to that, it doesn't seem like. I mean, sometimes they're involved in blowouts, but sometimes they're just not. We're on four straight games now with fewer than 10 shots per game. Very troubling for a guy you're going to pay more than $7,000 for. So while he does do it in terms of the assists, and that's where a lot of his value comes from, he's erratic enough to me that I didn't want to recommend him for cash games. And the other guy I was just looking at, just in terms of strictly upside for big tournaments, was Brandon Jennings. It looks like Derrick Rose likely to sit right now with back spasms. If he does sit, obviously this is like, unless you hate money, you're not going to put it, or unless you hate yourself, I guess I should say.
Gotcha.
You don't want to put Jennings in your cash games, because who knows where things will wind up for the Knicks tonight. Combine the blowout potential with the fact that, you know, Jennings is no sure thing, but he does have electric upside. I mean, if this game is fast-paced and the Knicks do keep it close, it probably will be key because Jennings gets hot in some capacity, whether it's finding other guys or shooting himself. So I think he's like an interesting guy to at least look at to build your big tournaments around.
Yeah, I think he'd be, yeah, again, we'll keep an eye on the Rose news leading up until lock, and we always adjust our system accordingly with injury news like that. At shooting guard, Man, shooting guard. Sometimes this draft, the DraftKings, just the makeup of lineups, like having to start two guys. This is where I just like making, excuse me, on FanDuel, I like making DraftKings lineups a little better because I hate getting locked into having to play two guys per position. Shooting guard is a, yes. is a situation I often feel like this and power forward. I'm often feeling like I just wish we could just translate one of these other guards to the shooting guard tonight, or they had dual position eligibility. What do you like at shooting guard tonight with the idea that there are some positional considerations between FanDuel and DraftKings?
I think the guy actually who tops my list is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nice job.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's a terrible job, but that's okay. I do like Giannis tonight, primarily because you do have some cheap options tonight that you can look into. And the fact that if you're going to have to spend up somewhere, he seems like compare him to Lillard, for instance. I think he is just a safer, flat-out value on these prices than Lillard is. I mean, he's basically a point guard as well, except he also gets 10 rebounds a game.
Right.
So that to me, that combined factor makes him a really nice spot against the Bulls, who, you know, while they have some good defenders, he just creates so many weird matchups for opposing teams that I think you can still trust him here.
Right, the Bulls will put Butler on him. I'm not totally convinced that affects Giannis crazily. Like Giannis still just gets to the lane so often, and the Bulls don't have great interior defensive presence, and that does make a difference for a guy like Giannis. So
I'm just not sure Butler's tall enough to cover him. Like just in terms of strictly being tall, Giannis is just so tall that guys like Butler just tend to struggle with him.
Yeah, and he creates significant length issues. He's a point guard on DraftKings, so we can't go the shooting guard route with him there. After him, in terms of just shooting guard, either on DraftKings or the second guy on FanDuel, who can we kind of pop in there?
Yeah, things get real dicey as we go after Giannis, and that's, I think, also a point in his favor. A guy I wrote up was McCollum. You know, like Lillard, he's just kind of on the high end for what you'd really like to pay for this production. He's actually a really interesting proxy for him, and I wonder, you know, why the sites, in my perspective, kind of overvalue both of them. But he's also got just a terrific matchup. I mean, Denver, the dead last defending two guards this season. McCollum is a good willing two guard. He'll put shots up. I don't think he has the upside you're looking for in terms of like your big tournament lineups, but just a guy who's going to go out there and get you 30 plus fantasy points and not provide a multiplier that's going to straight up kill you. I think that's what I like most about him here. The Denver backcourt situation continuing to be sort of a mess, and I think their lack of attentiveness in that area will be good for him.
Yeah, Denver's backcourt is a total mess. On both ends of the court, like Moutier, just really, the experiment on Moutier might just be over. I don't know. I'm just not exactly sure. He's young and they don't have a ton to play for now, so I get why they are willing to just sort of give him court time. At the same time, it's just painful to watch. Like he just can't do really anything, and so I don't know. I like McCollum here. It's funny about positional, just how DraftKings at least labels its positions, because McCollum is a shooting guard, point guard, but yet Giannis is only a point guard, and I just wonder sometimes about why one guy gets two labels. I know McCollum does play point guard sort of in the second unit, but Giannis is just not strictly a point guard. Anyway, just a complaint about that.
I hate labels myself, man, you know?
Great.
For me, I just wish we could look past labels and just be humans.
What about a guy like Langston Galloway? He comes off the bench, but if Frazier weren't to play again, do you think that even coming off like bench minutes, Galloway is safe?
Potentially. I mean, I think if Frazier sits and Galloway's really only going to be 4,100, then sure, why not, right? I mean, you're not going to do too much worse than him just plugging in one of these other guys. And if we're looking just strictly on a multiplier perspective, if you're going to get like a subpar multiplier, you might as well get it on 4,000,
right?
7,000 or something. But I don't know. I mean, there's other guys people are going to consider, right? I mean, Klay Thompson has a good matchup if you think the game stays close. He tends to lose his usage in these blowouts more so than some of the other studs. Dwayne Wade, some people are going to consider, but yeah, overall, it's a very, very hard position to evaluate tonight.
Yeah, and right, I'd love to like go back to a guy like Will Barton, if you thought he was going to be that high 30s minutes guy, and then all of a sudden, you know, took a couple games in a row of 24 minutes and 33 minutes, and last game was a true disaster against Dallas for him. But yeah, he's a guy that he seemed to have sort of found his way into safe minutes on Denver, which is almost like an oxymoron. Like those things usually don't exist. But, and then right when you think he's safe, he just goes out and plays, you know, kind of season low minutes. So I don't know. I like Barton from a DFS perspective in terms of he does a lot of stuff on the court, but I just get so worried about these guys that you just can't really trust. Like Mike Maloney just simply can't trust the minutes. At small forward, Durant tonight. I mean, can we do Durant in a game that projects to be just could be like an epic blowout again, like Golden State minus 14? The projection for him in the short term really hasn't been so great. But is he a safer cash gameplay on a night where we are lacking some in the way of expensive plays?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and do something that you don't like very much, which is disagree with the right. projection system on Durant a little bit. I mean, it did write him up. I think he's a worthwhile guy to consider, and especially tonight, small forward's pretty lousy, and as you get away from some of the top plays, you start to really give some equity back. But Durant's kind of a weird guy to evaluate, right? Because early in the season, the big note on him, at least in terms of our conversations, was that the usage was still there, right? Like, he was still putting up 20-plus shots a game. He was obviously contributing on the boards and all that sort of thing. But his shooting really took a back seat for a stretch there. I mean, the thing that puts him back into consideration now is that he is back up in the 20 shots a game range in the last two games. But the five games before that, he was both shooting poorly and not shooting very often and just paying off. Like, we saw this with Curry last season. It's really tough to maintain a $10,000 price tag with that many mouths to feed. So, yeah, it's a great matchup. If it stays close, I think Durant could wind up being one of the best possible plays and even in big tournament winning lineups. But there are some other kind of slightly cheaper options that I like better, and that's probably the direction I'll go for my cash games tonight.
All right, like who then?
Yeah, so primarily Butler and Leonard. I mean, Rondo questionable for tonight, and if Rondo sits, I think Butler will be a premium chalk option. Like, I think everyone will basically play him. He was phenomenal in the same situation when Rondo sat last time around, and he was about a 30% ownership on a bigger slate, so I think we could see that number climb, and Butler really deliver tonight. And then Leonard, you know, Leonard's a guy who, I guess, things are potentially questionable given the Spurs are on the second half of a back-to-back, and it's a potential blowout against the Suns, but you know, he's just been so reliably putting up 40 plus fantasy points per game that a lot of times Spurs blowouts are built on the fact that he's so awesome. So I like both those guys quite a bit better than Durant from a safety perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm probably with you. We're probably a little high on Durant's minutes in the system if we think that their game gets out of hand. Like, we have him at 37 minutes, and I'm not sure if we're factoring. You know, this is one thing we've talked about a lot, is we're trying to factor in the blowout and what the percentage decrease you get in expectation in terms of just overall minutes becomes when the game is, like in this case, minus 14, which is about on the higher end that you'll ever see in terms of spreads. So I think where we'll end up coming down with Durant is not so much on the usage piece, but on the minutes part. And when we get, you know, if we give him a 10% downgrade in minutes, then he does actually fall firmly in that camp with Butler and still a little bit higher than Kawhi, but Kawhi is obviously a little bit cheaper. In terms of you know, cheaper guys, I mean, does this position just totally strike you as sort of like double expensive or single expensive between the both sites, between Durant, Kawhi, and Butler? Or is there any cheaper plays? I'm looking on this list. It doesn't seem like it, but maybe you're seeing something that I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, the one guy that kind of ticked up for me was PJ Tucker. I mean, again, it seems crazy to play anyone against the Spurs. I totally get it. But Tucker really has put up tons of minutes recently. Mm-hmm. Like, he has 40 minutes in back-to-back games. So, you know, if TJ Warren comes back, obviously you throw him out. Throw him out with the baby out with the bathwater. You're throwing him out if TJ Warren comes
back. Yeah, you're throwing out babies, you're throwing out bathwater. You're just throwing all the stuff out. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, you're going to throw your bathwater out, but
you have diapers come to your house.
And babies simply don't fit down a drain, no matter what you do.
Now you're really going to have diapers come to your house.
That's fine. Diapers, there doesn't even exist in New Hampshire, so
sorry. Child services, whatever it is.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah, Tucker. I mean, the thing about him is that he does contribute across the board, and the Suns are one of these teams that when the rotations get short, they're like, whatever, man. Let's just let PJ play 41 minutes. Who cares, right? I mean, it just really matters. So I do think he could be a very solid option, topping 29 fantasy points in back-to-back games. And it actually wouldn't shock me if he just wound up being in the lineups tonight as a result of that.
All right, moving on. James said something funny to me off the air for a second there, and I got the giggles, and now I'm back. We're on the power forward. Is Davis, Anthony Davis tonight, on a night where, you know, there's some interesting, more expensive guys. He's clearly, you know, he's significantly more expensive than really anybody else on the list. But even with that in mind, is he basically, do you see him as just being the chalk kind of every lineup guy, even at his 11.5 price tag on DraftKings and he's 12 on FanDuel? Even with the price, is he just the safest cash game play?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously going to depend if you can support his price with some cheap guys elsewhere. But as of now, it certainly looks like it. I mean, the guy's playing 40 minutes a game right now, and again, in the old who knows what the Pelicans are up to category, but that's what they're doing, so that's the reality we're living in. And if you can save up, maybe you get Langston Galloway, maybe you get PJ Tucker, you just get one of these other cheaper guys that has increased opportunity based on some lineups moving around. And yeah, I think Davis fits in. I mean, the one thing you really like about this game is that Vegas projects it to be close, which doesn't always happen with the Pelicans. And given that it's just a 4-point spread, a reasonable total, and the fact that there aren't any other huge money options, I think he'll be hugely owned tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think he's just going to be the guy. Everything kind of, all the boxes get checked for him in this matchup. Indiana really can't play defense, especially on the interior. They've swapped out. They've traded maybe some offense with guys like Turner and Young for kind of 0.0 defense on that end, especially at a Thad. But yeah, no, I think you see Davis as just the chalk play. After him, though, again, having to roster two power forwards on FanDuel just again becomes sort of an issue, I think. Where do you see any value kind of creeping up? Like last night we had David Lee, but that's going to be out of the discussion now with Aldridge back. Terrence Jones off the bench, like I'm not sure you can trust the minutes. Where do you like it? What do you like at power forward?
Yeah, I like Jabari Parker tonight. I mean, so a quick word on Parker is that he has been a little bit up and down by and large this season, but I think he's kind of underratedly really slotted into roughly a 30 fantasy points per night production. And of course, all that being said, we played him on the night where he scored 10 fantasy points two nights ago. So I get it. It's not always ideal, but
hey, buddy, we went back to the well the night after though. It was like one of those things where
34 fantasy points. Right. So it's like, you know, this is going to happen from time to time. That game, obviously, a very unusual game script. He played his fewest total minutes of the season, I'm pretty sure.
Big
yeah,
time.
23 minutes. So uh-huh. The old hashtag DFSR special. But I do think that, you know, in games since November 29th, and this includes some tough matchups, by the way. Cleveland, the Spurs are in here. He's averaged more than 30 fantasy points a game if you throw that 10-point game out the window. And if he's going to do that, you know, averaging better than 5x points per dollar, I think that makes him a really strong play. And I'd be very happy to roster him at a super shallow position that really doesn't offer a lot of safety elsewhere.
Yeah, no, that I was hoping going into the Toronto game for Parker that the 23 minutes he saw the previous one was just an outlier, like Jason Kidd just pulling him and taking him off, or he saw a matchup thing, because up until that point, his minutes have been very safe, and he's just been playing really well. He's a good two-way defender, and he's decent on the offensive side. He will take threes from time to time, which helps him. He's not a total stretch four, but he can kind of range out behind the arc. I like him as well on a night where, again, you're sort of in this weird spot. Like, you want to be able to, I wouldn't mind playing even a guy like Thad Young, but I just can't trust really totally his minutes or his usage, especially with Paul George back in the lineup for him. So that kind of dumps him down a little bit. Taj Gibson doesn't always see the run. You just get in this weird sort of spot with power forward where you get into this having to play another guy. Now, a guy that I could see people playing, and our system has been just every single night basically low on him, and he's been every single night just totally amazing, is Nikola Jokic. Now, his last four games were 32 points, 30 points, 35, and then he just crushed a 47-point performance against Dallas. There was also a note more recently, again, you can never trust what coaches say, especially coming out of Denver. And by the way, it's an organizational thing there. It's not the coach. It's a new coach, and they still will say things like, we're going to get so-and-so more minutes. And you're like, nice, Kenneth Faried going to get up to like 32 minutes, and he's like plays 14 or something like that. So you just can't trust notes on these guys all the time. That being said, Malone does come out and say he wants to get Jokic more minutes. It's really hard to keep a guy with the production that he's putting up on a per-minute basis is just kind of insane lately. I'm going full filibuster here on Jokic, but he also was a 47% start in FanDuel cash games last time coming off the bench. You think that he creeps back up into the conversation here against Portland, who stink against power forwards, and do you think our system's just too low on him overall?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's too low on him. It still likes him. I still wrote him up last night. But the question is, I mean, so he's going to play 26 minutes. That's like the average he's been playing. Recently, he's been putting up like some number way higher than that in terms of overall fantasy points per minute. Generally speaking, the best players in the NBA don't tend to score, you know, more than, I don't know, 1.2 fantasy points a minute, 1.1 fantasy points a minute. So is Jokic really going to be that much better than that? Is he really the second coming of Russell Westbrook? Like, that's what the recent totals have suggested, so I guess we can't rule it out, but I don't know. You look at the early season returns, you know, he was definitely much more in that lower range, and so while he's completely crushed it in the last four games, and I still like him, by the way, I think, you know, 30 fantasy points is a pretty reasonable expectation for him here. I just don't think you can just go ahead and guess that he's going to score 40 fantasy points on 27 minutes, you know?
Yeah, that's where I always get a little concerned, where just because the price has climbed, he still comes off the bench. They're still, you simply cannot trust the Nuggets at all, right? Like, you just can't trust that what they're going to do in terms of their rotations, what they see, what they like, and what they, you know, where they want to allocate their minutes. We've seen this more time. I mean, fool me once, whatever, with that saying, that dumb saying is. But, like, this is a situation with Jokic, and I think this is something we're going to try to evaluate going into the game, is if we need to give him a bump, like if his situation has changed at all, because man, he just has been absolutely crushing it. All right, moving into and finishing off with the center position, seems like a lot of just different, like, sort of middle tier cheap options here are kind of jumping off the page, or they're really not jumping off the page, they're meandering off the page with some of these names. But, what do you like at center?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I really love any of these options. The one guy I think is kind of the flashiest pick is Tyson Chandler. You know, if, and it only works if Len is out of the lineup probably, but he's got 20 rebounds or more in back-to-back games, and he's just crushing people in the glass. The thing you don't like about this, obviously, like, I think if this were any other opponent, I would be really, really excited, but the fact that it's the Spurs obviously tempers my enthusiasm quite a bit here. But, you know, the Chandler, I think, a reasonable guy to look at, especially in big tournaments. And then the other two guys, they're kind of the same version of each other, but separated by $1,000 in salary. And that's Robin Lopez and Mason Plumlee. Lopez, I think he's pretty underrated. I mean, he goes out there and puts up 5x points per dollar on these prices, and that's absolutely worth something in a shallow position. And Mason Plumlee does kind of similar things, back-to-back games with an 18-7 against pretty tough competition. Should have an easier time of it tonight against Denver. So I think you actually do have options here. It's not terrible. And the fact that you only have to play one of these guys, I think, makes it a pretty good spot.
Yeah, Chandler had sort of like dream center matchups in terms of interior defense against the Pelicans, and especially the Knicks, who just get nothing out of their center. Like, it was just Noah gives them nothing, and the bench gives them even less. And so, and the same with the Pelicans, who just kind of just throw out guys that are tall and just can't really move at all in Ajinka and Ashik. So I think that's where you saw some of his boosted rebounding potential. I think our system actually correct on him to sort of not expect that against the Spurs tonight. I'm with you on Lopez. I think he's the guy, at least as of right now, that I would probably want to play just in terms of safety, and doesn't really cost you a ton. And he's been just consistent enough at these prices that I'm not so worried about like a $5,000 tag on FanDuel. I think he's a little bit more on, no, only 4,600 on DraftKings, which is actually even better. So I think Lopez is the guy. I'd be surprised if I wasn't running Lopez in cash games, even right now at 10:40 Eastern.
You lucky dog.
Look at me. All right, that is it for us today. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site, DFSR.com for short. You can go over and take a look at our free trial of our projection system, which basically informs everything we talked about here in terms of putting together lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, helps you calculate lineups for both of those sites. It's free for 3 days, and then $29.95 a month after that. Includes our NFL projections as well, all under one subscription blanket. Buddy, remember, 8 o'clock's late tonight, not 7 o'clock, so don't forget.
I'll see you later than usual.
Adios.